And now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal news, legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law host June Grosso discusses a U.S. Supreme Court case over whether people can be held responsible for Facebook posts perceived as threats. She speaks with Timothy Zick, a professor at William & Mary Law School.
Tim, how does the government usually prove a true threat under the federal statute?
Well, the government usually, in the sense that 10 out of the 12 federal courts of appeals apply the standard, has to prove that the speaker communicated words that a reasonable person would understand to communicate a threat to do bodily injury or harm to another person.
So why wasn't that standard applied in this case?
The petitioner's argument is that something more should be required than that a reasonable person would understand the speech to communicate a real threat, that in fact the speaker should have to be proven to have intended that the person would take his words as a threat.
Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg asked, how does one prove what's in someone's mind? Did any of the other justices have a similar problem?
I think a number of them had similar problems. She articulated that a couple of different times. And it's true that once you go to sort of a subjective intent standard, you're asking, in essence, what was in this person's mind. And some people communicating this sort of information on Facebook and other places are perhaps disturbed. So she was concerned that, how would we access the mind of someone who was maybe going through a distress or in other circumstances. I think it's a concern in general for the justices. How do you task, in many cases, a jury with assessing, again, what was in the mind of a speaker when he or she posted or uttered words? Very difficult thing to do.
In social media, where this is so profuse, who is the reasonable person?
I think that's one of the questions the justices will have to answer. If they're satisfied with this objective, reasonable recipient standard, I think they're going to have to address that or articulate who might be the reasonable person. What kind of individual are we talking about? Some of them pointed out it could be a very large audience, say for someone on Facebook who has a lot of Facebook friends, or it could be just a few. It could be mixed ages. It could be mixed genders and so forth. So it's a very difficult standard. It doesn't get easier necessarily if you apply an objective standard as opposed to a subjective one.
Justice Alito said, this sounds like a roadmap for threatening a spouse and getting away with it. Is Justice Alito the one least likely to give First Amendment protection to offensive or unpopular speech?
I think that's a fair description. In recent cases involving violent video games, animal cruelty videos, and protests at military funerals, he's consistently been willing to leave unprotected a speech that the rest of the court or many on the court find some value and some protection for.
That was Timothy Zick, a professor at William & Mary Law School, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grosso. Bloomberg Law can be heard weeknights at 5:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
And now here's a look at some of the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law. Testimony from Steve Jobs may be heard by a federal court jury in Oakland, California this week. A trial got underway yesterday in a consumer lawsuit claiming Apple tried to thwart rival music stores to maintain a monopoly over digital players. Lawyers who brought the suit questioned the company's late co-founder 6 months before he died in October 2011. In the video recording, Jobs defended Apple's use of software for the iPod and iTunes that blocked compatibility with a competing digital music store as necessary to protect licenses with major record labels. Consumers claim the closed system allowed Apple to charge more. They're seeking more than $1 billion in damages.
Walmart denied claims by lawyers for actor-comedian Tracy Morgan that the giant retailer is stalling a federal lawsuit over a fatal highway crash in New Jersey last summer. Attorneys for Morgan opposed a motion by Walmart driver Kevin Roper to intervene in the case and have the lawsuit delayed pending resolution of criminal charges against him. Roper isn't named as a defendant in the lawsuit, and Morgan's attorneys accused Walmart of stalling to avoid disclosure of its safety practices. Company attorneys called that accusation simply false.
AstraZeneca is fighting to avoid what might be billions of dollars in damages over claims it illegally paid to block generic versions of the top-selling heartburn tablet Nexium. It's the first trial of its kind since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that drug makers can be sued over so-called pay-to-delay deals. The case against AstraZeneca and Indian generic drug maker Ranbaxy Laboratories challenges a 2008 settlement of a patent lawsuit that stalled sales of a cheaper version of Nexium in the U.S. The suit claims consumers were overcharged billions of dollars as a result of the deal.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.